coveting heart is self-centered, but a content heart is God-centered. Amen?
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In the first part of Pastor Brian Grant's message, which aired last week, we learned how a coveting heart led Elisha's servant Gehazi down a path he likely never intended to travel. We learn how coveting is greed. It is a craving for material possessions fueled by what other people have. We learn how a coveting heart will make us compromise our values, even leading us into all kinds of evil. We learned, perhaps most importantly, how a coveting heart will make us miss God's plan for our lives. So please follow along now in your Bibles as Pastor Grant brings the concluding part of his message, which is God's remedial alternative for covetousness. Here, once again, is Pastor Grant with the second part of his message, How to Get True Riches. Pastor Grant.
Coveting puts us on a slippery road that takes us to places we never intended. It leads us into all kinds of evil. In 1991, James Patterson and Peter Kim published a book entitled The Day America Told the Truth. The book gave the results of a survey in which Americans were asked this question: what would you be willing to do for $10 million? Now, since this was all the way back in 1991, I'm going to update it, and I'm going to suggest $10 million in 91 is like perhaps $20 million today. So if I might change their title, what would Americans do for $20 million? Here were the results. Do you want to hear the results? Do you really want to hear the results are shocking. 25% of Americans would abandon their entire family. 25% would abandon church. 23% would become prostitutes for a week. I'm not making this up. 7% of Americans who responded said they would kill a stranger if you would give them the money. 3% said they would put all their children up for adoption. Those results sound outrageous, don't they? But what would you do for $20 million? Oh, I have a feeling you may do some stuff that right now you weren't even thinking about. The Bible tells us, when we are in love with money, it leads us into all kinds of evil. The truth is, some of you listen to me this morning, you have already abandoned your church. Because although your name is still on the roll, there are people listening to me this morning who hardly ever show up at church. You hardly are involved in anything at your church because you're so focused on making money. Some of you have already abandoned your kids. They hardly see you. You've already abandoned them. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And God is warning us this morning that when we give into greed and materialism, we have no idea how far we will go. It's a slippery road, and it will take us to places we never intended to go. And so God is saying to you, and he's saying to me this morning, watch out. It's time to turn. It's time to admit that I am in love with money. And it's time to say, God, I am turning away from the path I am on. I'm God. I'm going to seek for the true riches. So what have we said so far? We have said first, a coveting heart will cause us to compromise our values. Secondly, we have said it will lead us into all kinds of evil. But the third and the most important reason why a coveting heart is deadly is because it will make us miss God's plan for our life. Write that down. A coveting heart will make us miss God's plan for our life. Look with me at verse 25. We read this already. He went in and Elisha said, where were you? He said, I didn't go anywhere. Look, verse number 26. Then he said to him, did not my heart go with you when the man turned back from his chariot? Is it time to receive money and clothing and olive groves and vineyards, sheep, oxen, male, female servants? Therefore, the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and your descendants forever. And he went out from his presence, leprous, as white as snow. Gehazi was being groomed for something big. Don't miss this. We often miss that in this text. Elisha was in the exact same place Gehazi was a few years earlier. Elisha was understudying Elijah. You remember, he just as Gehazi is now understudying Elisha, Elisha was understudying Elijah in ministry. And when God called home Elijah, Elisha became God's prophet. And here we have the baton. God is preparing Gehazi as Elisha's understudy to become God's prophet. And Elisha, Gehazi had the privilege of having a front row seat to what God was doing through Elisha. He was there when, you remember that battle I told you about, when the Israel and their comrades were almost wiped out because there was no water. And he was there when Elisha prayed and God did an incredible miracle and the entire valley was filled with water without any rain or wind falling. He was there when the Shunammite woman's son, listen, this elderly lady, he was there when God did a miracle and made her pregnant, and another miracle when her son died, when God miraculously raised him from the dead through Elisha. Listen, he had seen miracle after miracle. He had seen Naaman the leper healed from his leprosy. He had seen this all, and God was planning to use him in a dramatic way. But Gehazi lost it all because of his covetous heart, because of greed. It's amazing. If you look at what he got, what he traded for God's blessing. You see, he had a dream. Verse 26, God tells us what the dream was. Elisha said to him, is it time to receive money and to receive clothing and olive groves and vineyards, sheep, oxen, male and female servants? You see, at the back of Gehazi's mind, it wasn't just about the money. He actually had a dream of having this mansion and having this vineyard and olive groves and servants and all the nine yards that rich people have. You know, he had the American dream even before America existed. I remember years ago, folks wanted to get us into selling some product. I will spare them mentioning their name, but they were trying, you know, what turned us off. They said we should get a picture of the biggest mansion we could find, and we should take a magnet and put that on a refrigerator. So every time we came to the fridge, we'd keep focused on our dream, and the dream was to get this mansion. That's not my dream. Gehazi, he had his eyes focused on that dream. What are your eyes focused on this morning? What's your dream? What's your dreaming about? Listen, because of this, instead of becoming God's prophet, Gehazi became a leper, as white as snow. The leprosy didn't even start slowly. Did you notice it? He became a leper as white as snow. This should be a wake-up call for all of us this morning, because God has a plan for each of us. But I need you to hear what God is saying to you this morning, young person, older one. If you continue pursuing material things, you may get the big mansion, but you may forfeit God's plan for your life. And I want to say to you, young person, nothing can compare with knowing you're living out God's plan for your life. Nothing can compare with pursuing God's plan. And I'm concerned, I'll be honest with you, that some of the younger generation, of course, I'm not going to talk to you, all the folks, I'll let you work it out between you and God. But some of you in the younger generation, you need to make sure that you're pursuing God's plan. Because sometimes, listen, God has plans to make some of you leaders in his church and leaders in ministry. But if you don't know God's word, you will never really get to where God needs you to be. And I want to encourage you, we have all these Bible studies. You better make sure if you really are seeking to pursue God's plan, you start locking into the Bible studies. You start locking into God's word so God can use you in some incredible ways. So this is a wake-up call for all of us as God says, listen, you better pursue my plan. The best thing is to pursue my plan. Instead of pursuing worldly riches, make sure you're pursuing the true riches. So let me tell you about the true riches. You know, to discover God's true riches, it won't happen if we have a coveting heart. And so this morning, there are two types of hearts God wants to talk about. And the other one, I'm going to be very brief, so you need not worry. There is the coveting heart, but put this in your notes. There is also a content heart. A content, or if you want to add ED, a content or a contented heart. Write this down in your notes. A coveting heart is self-centered, but a content heart is God-centered. Amen? Here's what 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 tells us. Godliness with contentment is what? Great gain. I'm going to rephrase that. Godliness with contentment is true riches. Amen?
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Godliness with contentment, that's where the true riches, that's where it is. Godliness with contentment is great gain. So how can we develop a content heart? Just two quick things here. Number one, we need to turn from a self-centered life. Turn with me if you would, and you can leave. We're leaving 2 Kings behind, and we're going to stay the next few minutes focusing on Luke's Gospel chapter 12. And verse number 16, Jesus tells a parable that is sometimes referred to as the parable of the rich fool. The ground of a certain rich man, I'm reading from Luke's Gospel chapter 12, verse 16. The ground of a certain rich man, Jesus said, yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? Note, if you would, how self-centered this guy is. So he said, I will do this. I will pull down what? My barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I said to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. The only time he used the word you, the only time he spoke in the third person was when he spoke the word you and your. But even that was about himself, because I will say to myself. So even the you and the your was all about him. This guy was totally self-centered. And I will say to my soul, eat, drink, and be merry. You know what's amazing about this story is, although he was living as if there was no God, humanly speaking, he was a huge success. He was so successful, he had to expand his warehouses. You know, sometimes, I have already told you in some of the illustrations I've given that sometimes church leaders give the impression that one way you know you're in the center of God's will is by the size of your bank account or by the size of your house, and it's a lie from the pit of hell. Some of the wealthiest people in the world have nothing to do with God. Some of the wealthiest Christians in the church are not walking in the center of God's will. That is absolutely no measure to determine if you're in the center of God's will. This man was rich. Perhaps I'm speaking to somebody like this. This man lived as if there was no God. Perhaps you're doing well and you're living as if there's no God. Well, listen to what God said to this man in verse 20. But God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul will be required of you." And who's going to inherit all this stuff? You see, my friend, my Bible tells me it is appointed unto men once to die, and after death the judgment. We get an opportunity to live here perhaps for 70 years. Some have actually made it to about 114, 119 years. Listen, the life on earth is very, very brief, but eternity is forever. And I want to ask you, my friend, if you are just living for this life, can you understand why God says you are a fool? God, I'm not saying you're a fool. God says you're a fool. God says you're a fool because, listen, you lived here, you accumulated all this wealth, and then when you die, you go and roast in hell forever. What type of deal is that? And then even the money you accumulated, it goes to folks who squander it in a minute. Some of them you didn't even like, nor did they like you. My friend, this morning God is saying, here's how it ends. So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Oh, I pray this morning that you become rich towards God. Listen, God is not talking about giving him your money, because when he has you, he has everything you have. Amen? I hope every believer realizes that if God really has you, he has everything you have. But this morning, my friend, God is not after your money. He's after your heart. He wants to give you his salvation. He wants to change you. He wants to give you his true riches. But the true riches begin by your turning away from your self-centered life. But not only must you turn from your self-centered life, but you must pursue a God-centered life. And here it is, Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 29. Do not seek. You see, Jesus has now gone on to tell us all the things we worry about. You know, we worry about the job. Are they going to, do I have a job in the next few weeks after the virus is cleared up? Will I have a job? Will I have a home? Will I have this? My brother, there's some of us right now worrying about some things. I won't call any names. And here's what Jesus says. Do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. If Jesus Christ is your Father, if God is your Father, come on, folks, if God is your Father, he knows that you need, he knows exactly what you need. And so he says, but seek the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. God, when he is your Father, he knows all that you need. And he says what he wants you to do is, instead of being so self-oriented, be God-oriented. Pursue a God-centered life. He says, seek the kingdom of God. The Gospel of Matthew says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Pursue God. And I want to challenge every believer in Jesus Christ under the sound of my voice this morning to make sure you're pursuing a God-centered life. I need to ask you, are you pursuing a God-centered life? Is God at the center? Is his desires for you first paramount? Is pleasing him paramount? You see, Brother Brian, if I don't look out for myself, I'll never get anywhere. And you're so wrong. For my Bible says, listen, when you are seeking God's will first, God is looking out for you. And my friend, God has the ability to look out better for you than you can look out for yourself. And God is not limited in what he can supply. Let me close with this story. Years ago, I attended a conference for financial planning and investment professionals. And as I usually like to do, I attended the prayer breakfast. There was a man there I didn't recognize. And he asked for prayer, very specific prayer for his family. He was going through a lot of challenges and he was crying as he asked, gave us his prayer request. And he asked me if I would pray. And I did, and I prayed very specifically regarding the issues that he asked for prayer about. Well, to be honest with you, I thought that was the end of the story. But it turns out that it was not. You know, I was the only person who looked like me. There's nobody else looked like me, so it wasn't hard to find, to describe who I was. But he decided to find out who I was because somehow the prayer had touched his heart. And so he discovered who I was. I didn't know who he was. Well, it turned out he was the executive vice chairman. He was the number two person in one of the 10 largest banks and financial services companies in the entire country. He was one of the biggest boys in the financial and banking business. And this man sought me out. And he made his company come into a deal with me for me to be a consultant to the bank. I must tell you, I didn't do a thing. We, by God's grace, it was one of the most lucrative arrangements I had in my entire career. And I didn't do a thing for it. Just imagine, all I did was pray for a man who was in need. And the God who says, I know what you need, he supplied my need. I'm just telling you that to tell you, my God can be trusted. Or you may say, God doesn't know the details of your situation. God can't supply in your situation. But I tell you, if God can do a deal like that without my doing anything, I have a feeling he can meet your need. And this morning I'm going to ask you, no matter who you are, no matter where you are, I'm going to ask you to decide, God, I surrender. I surrender. God, yes, God, I have been greedy. Yes, God, I have been covetous. Yes, God, I have been pursuing money and material things. Yes, God, it has changed my life because, to be honest, I'm not as active as I used to be. I don't go to church as much as I used to do. I don't read my Bible. I don't pray as much. I don't witness as much. God, it has affected my relationship with you. Yes, God, I see where it has changed me. But God, today I'm coming back your way. Today, God, I'm making a decision to pursue your path. I'm going your way. I'm going to pursue a God-centered life because I want your true riches. Well, I hope if you're a Christian, you'll pray that prayer. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm going to invite you right now to bow your knee to Jesus. My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.